Though it's one of the pivotal and certainly most tragic moments of Christ's passion, the agony in the garden has not been widely depicted in art, or at least less so than other events from his last days. Art historian Elizabeth Lev tells us where one scene of the agony is depicted here in the Vatican, and she points to more modern forms of art that have expressed it too.
There's one very small image of the agony in the garden represented by Cosimo Rosselli, one of the painters of the Sistine Chapel in the 1480s. But it's a very small window. It's actually part of the last panel on the right-hand side panels of the stories of Christ. And it's the Last Supper with three windows looking outside of the room of the Last Supper. And the first window on the left shows this agony in the garden. But
so you're actually in the room of the Last Supper and you can see through the windows and you see the agony in the garden.
You see the agony in the garden, you see the arrest, and you see the crucifixion. So you see how these stories from the moment of the Last Supper, from Holy Thursday and the Last Supper, the story telescopes into the Passion of Christ. So everything is summed up in one single page. Panel. The Vatican Agony in the Garden, very, very small representation, is really one of the very, very few images of this sort that you will see in Rome. In this city, there's something of a dearth of agony in the garden scenes, and actually in the history of art, there are very few. There's a flurry right around the late 1400s and the early 1500s in which you get some of the finest painters, Andrea Mantegna, Giovanni Bellini, the great Venetian painters all take a stab at this image of the agony of the garden. They all represent it in the same way, and by the way, the same way that Cosimo Rosselli represents the image. Three apostles asleep in the lowest corner of the painting, the part that's closest to the viewer, Jesus raised up on a mount, generally with his back to us, so we don't really see what's going on. And in some images that derive from St. Luke, particularly Mantegna's as well as Rosselli's, in these images they have the angel that brings the chalice or some indication of the Jesus who sweat drops of blood and the angel who came to strengthen him in this struggle. But amazingly enough, the thing that I find particularly interesting about talking about this subject is that some works of art take a long time to create an iconography. So, for example, our vision of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin, which everybody's mind, Mary wearing the white with the light blue, and she's standing on a serpent, and she's standing, and you've got the crown of stars around her head. This imagery that immediately will come to everyone's mind. It took 800 years to create that image. And what I found when I was thinking about this and looking through all the images, that the person who really captured the spirit of the agony of the garden was actually, captured in cinema. It took cinema to create the idea of the agony of the garden. And when
you'll have to explain that one because we didn't have cinema until what, 1920?
Until 2001 is where I'm going, or 2003. And the arrival of the movie The Passion, which many people have many different issues with, but there are many things that perhaps are not the consecration of iconography. However, the agony of the garden in the garden, I do not think has ever been better depicted. It's the opening of the movie. It's drawn, the whole story of the movie is drawn and supplemented not only from the gospel but from the visions of the Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. But this the word agony comes from the Greek agone. It is only used once in the gospel, and the word means struggle. Piazza Navona here in Rome is actually from the term agone, which are the agonistic games, the competitions that took place in the Piazza Navona when it was the Stadium of Domitian. They use this term once in the gospel. They use it for Jesus's struggle in the garden and this preparation. And the way that Mel Gibson captures this heroic Christ, you know, beaten to the ground with his fear, then getting up and getting ready to face the battle. Really, it opens up a whole new way of thinking about, a way of meditating on, a way of feeling close to one of the hardest aspects of Christ's passion. You know, the physical torture we all know about, we have plenty of images of, but that that emotional difficulty of knowing what's ahead. He's God. He knows what's coming. And then to have his friends all falling asleep, to have his friends left behind. So the sense of abandonment with which he goes into the ring. And I would like to just bring up that in the history of Christian art and literature, this idea that the Agony of the Garden presents to us of the hero who awaits the moment of battle, the hero who's getting ready to step out into the ring, it has been picked up and created some of the greatest works of art that you and I know. For example, Michelangelo's famous David in the Academia, where it's not David in the middle of the ring. It's not David after the battle. It's David in that moment when he prepares to step out and face Goliath. It's a very interesting thing to remember in our world that as much as Hollywood or the pop culture or even, you know, pop music tries to deny it, a great many of our most powerful forms of imagery, they come from the Christian tradition.
Let's go back a moment to this image in the Sistine Chapel. Here we look at these three apostles who are lying with their backs to Jesus, who's there on the mount praying. And in a way, I think we Christians, we see ourselves mirrored in these three disciples who do have our backs turned to Jesus. We've left him in his moment of dire need.
All these images, more so than the Cosimo Rosselli, which of course is a papal commission, but the actual panel paintings of the Agony in the Garden are usually private commissions. They're commissioned by wealthy gentlemen, people who put them up as a kind of private devotional piece. And in that particular form of commission, that's exactly what this is about. The emphasis tends to be on the apostles, who, as a matter of fact, if you see in this image, a lot of them, or if you somebody Googles them or pulls out an art book, you'll find them in these very good artists such as Mantegna and Bellini, who were experts at foreshortening, that is, making a part of the body seem close to you and part of the body seem far away from you. You'll find that the bodies of one of the apostles is usually foreshortened towards you. So it's really a link to you in looking towards the painting. So this is sort of a radical shift that takes place when these images were first commissioned, or this flurry of commissions in the late 1400s. They represent more of a meditation on our own inadequacy to be a friend to Jesus in need, our own incapacity to stay awake, to stay with him all the way through to the end. And at the same time, it does re-emphasize Christ's loneliness, because from that you can extrapolate, you can project into, you know, Jesus alone on the mountain suffering. But I think the Renaissance is very much a very humanocentric age, something that they're concerned a lot about the patron. The patron sees himself, the patron wants to put himself. So I think actually what makes the modern shift interesting is to put the focus back on Jesus again.
And thanks there to Elizabeth Lev, professor of Christian art and architecture at Duquesne University's Rome campus.